This time on Weather Brains.
After all these years, we're finally together.
James Spann is talking about Bill Bubba Bussey, who's making a big change for the Rick and Bubba radio team.
For many, many years, we have tried, and I must say without any success, to work with James Spann, and it looks like we had to take the long, bumpy road, but it looks like we finally may be there.
We'll talk with Bubba. Caution, this could be a crazy show. Is it going to be a likelihood that James Spann is going to be involved in turkey tosses? Also this time, a tornado warning with the President and First Lady in possible danger.
You figure you're pretty safe in an armored vehicle, but why didn't you go in the shelter?
We'll get a report on that from the newest member of the Weather Brains team.
I think I might have been James's first intern.
He's Kevin Selly in Dallas-Fort Worth, and you'll meet him. Plus, is James turning into an old geezer?
You got sinus infections, you're falling on stairs. That's a definite sign of old age here.
And there's more to J.B. Elliott than just weather.
That is the most exciting football game I have ever seen in my life.
It's all coming up. Welcome to Weather Brains, the netcast that's all about weather and has been certified completely trans fat free. I'm David Black with the Weather Company from Birmingham, Alabama. With me this time, the first netcast of 2007, a very large and very motley crew. First off, James Spann, chief meteorologist with ABC 3340 Birmingham. Mr. Spann, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm impressed with all the brain power on the show here tonight. I mean, this thing might explode or something.
This is
tremendous.
This is mammoth. We have Bill Murray with us, Brian Peters, J.B. Elliott, Mr. Spann, of course, and a new member, Kevin Selly from Texas. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, guys, I am just thrilled and honored to be included in the program, so thank you very much.
Well, we're going to explain a little bit more about who Kevin is so that he won't be a mystery, but in the meantime, we have somebody else with us tonight who's a little bit on the unusual side. I guess that's the best way to say it. James, how would you describe Bill Bussey, otherwise known as Bubba of Rick and Bubba?
A unique, one of a kind, great American.
Bubba, is that a fair label?
You know, James, that's an excellent start. Just keep going.
I didn't know you stayed up this late. This is great.
Well, you know, I usually don't. That four bells in the morning comes pretty early, but I am just honored to be on Weather Brains. This is my first time on, and I hope it won't be my last.
Well, we want to say congratulations. This is a very big day for you.
Yeah, we are in the process of changing flagship stations here in Birmingham, which...
Let me just ask you this. Was this another embarrassing incident in the copier room?
Well, you know, the Christmas party, sometimes things get out of hand.
The mistletoe.
You know, mistletoe can be a great tradition or a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, Brian knows all about that, too.
I just know about the recipe for disaster.
Well, the truth of it, to be known, David and guys, is for many, many years we have tried, and I must say without any success, to work with James Spann, and it looks like we had to take the long, bumpy road, but it looks like we finally may be there.
You'll do anything, won't you?
Just after all these years, we're finally together.
Isn't that strange? James, we're so excited.
This is great. I mean, this is just too cool. I've been working for Cox Radio for, I guess, 5 or 6 years now, so Rick and Bubba joins the party tomorrow. It'll be a fun day and a fun fight. This is a 5-year deal, right?
Yeah, that's what the lawyers tell me, James. I've looked at so much paperwork the last week, I can't read anymore. So that's what they tell me, and we're very excited about it. It has been a tough decision.
$10 an hour. How do you top that?
You know, when we broke the $8 an hour mark, I thought, well, it don't get any better than this. But, you know, it was a tough decision. We had a lot of friends at the old place, and we were not unhappy, but we had to just make a real tough business decision. And we're looking forward to it. We're excited. And, you know, from where we started, we had some other tough decisions to make over the years. And I told Rick this morning, I said, you know, if we hadn't have made some of those, I'd still be tuning transmitters in Gadsden, Alabama.
And now you can tune transmitters in Birmingham.
That's right. That's funny. As a matter of fact, when we were a young engineer in training, I'd actually worked with our friend David Troy Pennington, mm-hmm. and had worked with him replacing tube sockets at WZZK one night. So I never really expected to be their morning show, but we're excited about the change, 104.7 in the Birmingham area.
Well, speaking of change, what is this going to mean for the show?
Well, David, I hope it's going to mean bigger and better things. I don't think it's going to change the show any, because, quite frankly, we're not talented enough to do anything but what we're doing.
So you're going to be wearing a cowboy hat now?
Well, you know what? Dadgummit, when that first check comes, I might. And we'll be doing the same thing we've been doing. Cox is a great company. They have a lot of resources, and for our show, the assets that they have in Atlanta, the assets they have in Orlando and Jacksonville and a lot of other markets that we were not in, I think is going to be a very good match for us. They also are like the third largest cable company in the nation, and we're wanting to get back on the air on TV. So we have a lot of possibilities that we can work with, and we're excited about
it. So you may be getting on the air as far west as where? Texas?
Hopefully, you know, we think Texas would be our kind of place. I mean, we got a lot of kin folks out there around Fort Worth, and I can tell you know we're Fort Worth people. So, you know, we're very excited about it. The possibilities are wide open, and you know, it's a fresh start, and you know, sometimes you just need a change of scenery. I mean, it could be just that simple to invigorate everybody, and it's going to get everybody focused again. And you know, we're just excited about climbing some hills again.
If you get on in Fort Worth, Kevin can listen to you.
Yeah.
Already got an automatic listener.
Kevin, where are you located in Texas?
I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I'm just sitting here thinking, I can't think of one other person in all of Texas named Bubba, so I just don't know if that's going to work or not.
just ask for him on the street.
You know, we don't care what they call us, as long as they call us.
Y'all come on over. That'd be great.
I'm just thankful that it's Rick and Bubba making a channel change this time and not me.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that again.
Well, James, you know, it's funny you mention that because a lot of the case law has been brought up every time you mention that you're mentioned.
So. Span versus this, span versus that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know who wrote more precedent on various media things, James Spann or David Letterman.
Well, no, I'm still paying lawyer bills from that. So
the lawyers never lose out of deals
that. They do very well.
So, Bill, Bubba, is it going to be a likelihood that James Spann is going to be involved in turkey tosses?
You know, absolutely. If we can get him out there, we will absolutely let James grab a bird and throw it. Now, we're excited. I know James likes to do crazy things, and we do too. And, you know, we've been jealous of that tailgate broadcast at them high school games for years. So we're going to, you know, we're going to try to hoard in on that too.
We're going to crank it up a notch, baby.
Well, Bill, congratulations for the best. We're all really excited and pumped up for you guys.
Hey, thank you. We're excited, and it will be exciting, and I hope that you'll let me come back to Weather Brains, and it won't have to just be on a big news day.
Okay, let's just take a vote, guys. What do y'all say to that?
Bring him on.
Okay.
Amen.
Having Kevin and Bubba on tonight has increased our IQ 33%.
Absolutely. All right, Bill, that's the verdict. You gotta join us whenever you can. The invitation doorway is always open. And I know that you probably may have to head off and go to sleep because of the hour that we're on. You're welcome to stay with us, or if you need to drop off, we certainly understand that too. But come back and join us again, okay?
I will, and we will absolutely give Weather Brains a shameless plug tomorrow and a link on the website, so don't miss Woo-hoo. It.
That would be outstanding because we are pretty shameless.
This particular podcast is, and I don't mean this negatively, but it's very close to the Rick and Bubba Show.
That's kind of scary.
That is scary.
Mm. If you like an organized program, don't listen to this one.
Fair enough. Well, it is a brand new year. That's a reason to be excited. And I am excited because we have all sorts of things that we don't even know yet that are going to happen with Weather Brains. But this is the start of a brand new year, and it's a time to make resolutions. And Brian Peters, are you actually going to make any New Year's resolutions this time?
No.
Okay, you resolve not to make any resolutions.
I resolve not to make any. That way I won't have any guilt for not completing any.
I hear you. JB?
Yeah, I'm making about 25. They're recycled from last year, but
so you just use the same ones over and over.
Yeah, one of them. If anybody catches me eating a brown sugar cinnamon frosted Pop Tart before next Thanksgiving, they can claim a $5 fine immediately on the spot.
Okay. What about like a chocolate covered donut?
Twice in 2007.
Okay. Well, we're glad that you've made a list of resolutions, because I haven't made any. Bill Murray, What about your 2007? What are you planning and resolving? Anything?
You know, David, I've been too busy to even make any New Year's resolutions. So,
yep.
Other than spending the entire New Year's weekend trying to get my to-do list down to a manageable level for the start of the year, that's my resolution, I guess.
Fair enough. And Mr. Spann?
I fully plan on getting the number of hours of sleep I get nightly from 3.5 to 4.
Yeah, that would be a change.
I'm only 22 years old. This is what you look like when you never sleep. Your hair falls out and you get all these wrinkles.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin Selly is with us. Kevin, you've already spoken a few words from the great state of Texas, Lone Star State thereof. Tell me, first off, you're going to be a part of the Weather Brains team, at least on occasion. And that, as I understand, tell me if I'm wrong, I understand that this will just be on an occasional basis, depending on whether or not you're, you know, allowed out on early release if you get those terms worked out. Is that how it is?
That sounds fair, and I'm a little worried. I didn't bring my comedy routine because I didn't know Bubba was going to be on ahead of me, so I hope I can keep up. But my New Year's resolution would be to do everything I can to be invited back on a semi-regular basis to Weather Brains.
Well, that could happen. Now, you have some ties to some of the Weather Brains crew in the form of James Spann in Birmingham, Alabama. Tell me about that.
Well, I think, and James, correct me if I'm wrong, I think I might have been James's first intern. Is that correct?
You know, Old Shoe always claims he was the first, but I think it was you.
Because I know I was there before him.
It has to be you.
Because when I have said that to him, it sort of chafes him a little bit that he wasn't the first, and I regularly remind him of that. But I think I was James's first intern, and he was kind enough to sort of take me under his wing many, many years ago when I was on the radio doing an afternoon drive at one of the radio stations there in town.
In Birmingham.
Yes, and I was fortunate enough to meet James, and he sort of took me under his wing and got me involved in some weather stuff. He used to let me come over there and intern with him and build some maps, and I will never forget the first day. It was a 4th of July when he invited me to come up and watch my first television newscast, and I will never forget sitting way back in the back of that studio in the dark on a stool just in terror, thinking, oh my gosh, what is going on here? This is a real live newscast that I'm watching, and never thought that I could ever muster what it would take to be able to do that. But sometime later, I was actually able to work with James, and it has been a great ride, and I always thank him for it. So thank you, sir.
Well, tell me this. What was it like interning for Mr. Spann?
It was great. I'm not going to make any jokes. He was very, very kind and professional, and everybody at that station was at the time. They really did. I used to do afternoon drive on the radio. I'd come up there after that, and he would teach me how to use the computer and draw some maps. And I just stood in the corner at first, and I kind of eventually worked my way in. I'd draw some maps. And then during severe weather, we got to the point where I was running the radar a little bit for him, and that escalated a little bit. And eventually I got the weekend job. But they, a lot of people don't know this, they were real nice to me because after the 10 o'clock news, they would tape the sports, and everybody would go home, and they would leave the cameras and the studio lights on in the studio for me.
Also, you could play Mr. Weather.
I did. I would stay up there till 2 or 2:30 in the morning practicing so I could get an air check tape together. And then when the big opportunity came, as they said, I had a tape together. And James again came to my aid and went to the news director and said, this guy is he's a knucklehead, and he ain't that good looking, and he's got too long of a neck, but we should put him on TV. Is that right, James?
That's about it. No, Kevin was an amazing story because he worked his way into a job in a pretty large market. You know, typically you got to start in Lufkin, Texas, or Dothan, or and there's nothing wrong with those places, but you got to start small and work your way up to it to market this size. And it was just amazing. He went right into the job at 6.
So there wasn't any payoff. He was just doing a lot of good work. Is that what this is about?
The guy, he worked his way into the job, which is a great encouragement for all the young people that are listening to the show. Hard work does pay off. You know, making tapes at 2 o'clock in the morning and running the radar and just good things do happen. So that's a great story.
I'm a big fan of the internship, and if you can find somebody like James, and I know since I have been there, he has gone through a number of interns, given them a wonderful opportunity, but I just can't think of a better training ground than to do that. So anybody that's thinking about it, you've got to get your education, you got to do all the other formal things, but an internship, there's just no way to beat it.
That's outstanding. So from time to time, then, Kevin, perhaps you can join us and tell us about things that are going on in the great state, and I understand there have been some things happening in the big Lone Star State.
Yeah, I would love to do that, and thanks for the opportunity. But it was kind of interesting, guys. Last week, we had much of Central and North Texas were under the gun for severe weather on Friday. That was December 29th. Had tornado watches in place. Numerous warnings were issued, especially through Central Texas, including near Crawford, which is the site of the Western White House, just west of Waco. And early that afternoon, severe weather was actually threatening the president and the first lady, who were spending the holidays in Texas. And when a tornado warning was issued for the area, Secret Service agents placed Mr. and Mrs. Bush in an armored vehicle and drove them to a storm shelter near the ranch house. So wanting to know more, we called and spoke with White House spokesman David Almasy, who breaks down the chain of events that afternoon when agents had to move the president and the first lady to safety.
Well, the Secret Service is really in charge of the protection of the president when it comes to, you know, all things, whether it's, you know, potential threats from a terrorist nature or even when it comes to weather. And so they monitor all sorts of safety precautions to make sure that the president is taken care of should something occur. And so from what I understand is it became they noted that there was a storm that was coming, and they're the ones who actually made the decision to move the president to a safe location when the tornado looked like it was headed towards the ranch in Crawford.
Can you give us a rundown of the events on Friday then? How did it iron out?
Sure. So basically, as I mentioned, the Secret Service was monitoring the weather, and came to their attention, and they noted that there was a tornado en route, and so they had decided to move some of the senior staff to a safer location. And obviously the president lives on the ranch when he's down there, and the senior staff has sort of portable trailer facilities where they reside. And so some of the senior staff decided that they were going to head towards the trailers, and the Secret Service noted that that might not be the best spot for them to reside while the tornado was coming because of the foundations of the trailers not being entirely solid. So they headed towards the shelter, and the president, Mrs. Bush, grabbed Miss Beasley and Barney, their two Scottish Terriers, and they were headed towards the shelter as well. And then they had a second thought and said, well, you know, we need to make sure that communications are secure at all times. So they decided to move them into a vehicle instead, because that would have been a safer location for them where communications could not be interrupted. So they went in the vehicle and sat in the back there for it was about 5 or 6 minutes. It was a very short time until the tornado had passed and they had determined that it was safe for them to depart.
Well, that's fascinating to me on several levels because, number one, you said the portable trailers, and those of us in the weather dissemination business, that's obviously one of the things that we preach is during a tornado warning, get into a permanent structure. So
right.
It's kind of thrilling to actually hear that part of that.
Exactly.
Well, you've also filled in another hole for me because we were a little confused. The press reports said they were put into an armored vehicle, and then it was a little sketchy, taken to near a shelter. But what you're saying is then that because of the communication issue, was the plan to get close to the shelter and then, if need be, to go in it? Is that right?
I believe so. I mean, obviously, depending on the nature of the storm and how it was passing, they would have made other determinations. But the primary importance was that he be near a secure communications line at all times, and the shelter may not have provided that, depending on how much time they had to set it up, and they probably just made a quick decision. And it appeared the storm was passing through rapidly, so they decided just to do a temporary protectionary movement to the vehicle, and then if they needed to make other movements from there, they could determine it.
Do you know if the shelter was there prior to him becoming president? Has it always been there? Do you know?
That I don't know. I mean, I know that there is a shelter on the location from what I understand, but I don't know when it was built. I assume if you live in Texas and are familiar with tornadoes, it's probably wise for you to have one constructed, whether president or not. So.
Absolutely. Well, it's fascinating because you hear Secret Service and you think, oh, okay, well, they're supposed to protect the president, and certain things come to mind with regard to that. There are terrorist threats or any other kind of threats, but you don't really think of the weather, but that's a fascinating angle to it.
Yeah, threats, whether they be man-made or Mother Nature, absolutely.
Do you know, is there any historical precedent for this with regard to weather protection? I mean, if you look, say, at the Reagan Western White House, that tornadoes weren't usually a threat.
Right, but well, just because of its location, correct.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, obviously there are things, I mean, even dating back to 9/11, you know, there was discussions about when and where to land the plane. And then even after Hurricane Katrina, the president wanted to go visit the area directly after Katrina, but was told that there was no safe place to land in the area, and that both the Governor Blanco from Louisiana and Governor Barber from Mississippi said, "Mr. President, we'd love to have you, but we just can't support a visit for you right now." So there's all sorts of things that when it comes to travel and the arrangements of the president, of course, you know, is advised by the Secret Service, but he ultimately makes the decision where and when to land.
So, guys, that was David Almasy, spokesperson from the White House. I want to thank him for taking some time for us. But you know what else was kind of interesting? I called the Secret Service to try and get some more information on how they monitor the weather at the ranch. That was kind of what I was interested in. And while they were very polite, they said, well, you know, we're really not going to comment on any of that. So I called the Weather Service office here in Fort Worth. And since Crawford is in their CWA, the county warning area, they said they get a call from Washington when the president is going to be at the ranch. So they know he is in town, and they call the Secret Service, or the Secret Service knows their hotline number. And the folks in Fort Worth did, in fact, call them and let them know there were actually two mesocyclones near the ranch, one just to the east and one just to the west, which I thought was pretty interesting, guys. And I'd love to hear more from JB and Brian, having been in the Weather Service, about this, if they know anything, and any other secret Weather Service stuff, guys.
Yeah, do they put like a little yellow sticky note, you know, W up on a computer monitor? How do they do that?
Beats me. I do know that in my career, the big impact in having the president, and I never worked at an office where the president came on a regular basis. I've been at offices where the president came into town. But in the olden days, or back about 10 years ago, the Weather Service actually had to turn off their weather radio transmitters when the president was in town, because the Secret Service and the weather radio are very close in frequency, and wow, the Secret Service basically had precedence for maintaining, you know, clear communications. So the Weather Service was required to turn off weather radio. You know, typically a presidential visit to a town only takes, you know, 2 or 3 hours. It's not like he's there for 3 weeks or anything like that. And so they were required to actually turn it off. But never had a president in my county warning area, so I'm sure Fort Worth is doing a great job with that.
You know, I wonder if that means that a Secret Service agent, you know, tapping his right or left ear, you know, hearing the little earpiece, if he was hearing like a J.B. Elliott Alabama weather update.
I'm sure they monitor a great deal. You know, weather radio is probably one of the things that they monitor, but I can understand them not wanting to give out all that kind of information.
Hey, Brian, forget all this stuff. The president gets his information when he's in Crawford by watching Kevin Selly on TXCN.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Absolutely.
Well, it's kind of a Secret Service thing. We really can't talk about that. But Brian, didn't you work on that Olympics thing? Was there any kind of secret stuff about that back when it was in Atlanta some years ago?
No secret.
I thought you were on that team.
I was one of 15 meteorologists there from the National Weather Service.
He operated the popcorn machine. Come on.
Somebody had to do it.
Well, anyway, I thought that was sort of interesting, guys, especially when I saw that cross the wire that they needed to move the president away. Because, you know, like I say, you think about various things with regard to security, but not tornadoes. And I also thought it was funny when I called the Secret Service because, you know, they didn't want to say anything, but it's not like somebody's going to send a tornado in that direction so that there would be
somebody might, you know, try someday, right?
Leaking out secrets. I don't know about that.
Kevin, I thought your whole piece in the interview really filled in a lot of gaps for me, because in Birmingham, the story in the newspaper was extremely short, and I had all kinds of questions about why they put him in a vehicle and how
right.
far away was the shelter.
That was what I wanted to know, too.
And I never really thought of the element of communication. But, you know, you could see where they wouldn't necessarily want to make a bunker or some sort of shelter, you know, a home away from home or an office like the Air Force One or anything like that. So that was an interesting angle.
Well, I wondered that, too, and that was one of the reasons that I called them. And we were actually talking here in this office. We have some hams here, and they were kind of scratching their heads going, well, gosh, you'd think at least they could put an antenna on that thing or something. But clearly they know the setup better than we do. And this is also not an everyday occurrence. In fact, Mr. Almasy couldn't even remember, at least with this president, any kind of weather, you know, threatening events, because he's not there all that often. But I was confused by that, too, on the wire reports where they said, well, he drove out there and they didn't go in. So it was interesting to learn that, I thought.
Yeah, that was kind of confusing. I mean, armored vehicle, you figure you're pretty safe in an armored vehicle, but why didn't you go in the shelter? That was interesting to hear that.
I think that's a question that a lot of people would have had. And I did. I wondered about that as soon as I heard about that. Good piece, Kevin. Thanks for looking into that. And needless to say, we're going to kind of count on you to keep us up to date on things going out there that would be of interest to our audience. We have people listening to us everywhere. Probably, who knows? Texas.
Yeah, that was extremely interesting, Kevin. I do remember that rule, excuse me, about that Brian mentioned about having to cut the weather radio off if the president was in town.
Not to mention shut down the interstates and everything else.
I think we need to get JB one of those armored cars so if he drives from his house to the TV station, we know he'll be safe, you know?
Yeah, because there's a lot of road rage between my place and your place.
And he'll look really good on Interstate 459 driving that thing, too.
Are there any other secrets that bubble to mind for you guys, for Brian or JB? I mean, not big secrets necessarily, but certainly out of the routine stuff. I'd love to hear about that.
Well, we'll have to put our thinking cap on. Who knows what we might come up with during 07?
Well, I am working on other things, so I hope that that you guys will maybe allow me to join you again. We'll see what else we can come up with.
And do you really want to lower yourself to this level, though, Kevin? That's the big question.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, we need Kevin. We desperately need Kevin.
Well, No, you don't. You got you. I should say, since I have the opportunity, I just found this show fairly recently, maybe 3 months ago, but I've just been so impressed with it because I listened to it on my iPod and we all have a history, and it sounds like I'm joking around, but I really sincerely do appreciate the opportunity to join you guys because it's a really fun program, and I appreciate listening to it.
Well, Kevin, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Uh-oh, watch out for these questions, Kevin. He's notorious.
No, this is serious. How many telephone calls did you have to make before you finally got in touch with the man that you did the interview with?
Well, that's actually an interesting question. I called Friday afternoon. I called the Secret Service, and she was a little confused. I shouldn't say that. It was a strange request, and she kind of went, oh, okay, well, I'll pass this along to somebody, and you should hear back. And I went, okay. Didn't hear anything Friday. So Saturday morning, I called and said, hey, I'm following up on a request. The different woman was very nice. She said, if you don't hear from somebody in 20 or 30 minutes, you call me back. And so 40 minutes later, I hadn't heard, and so I called her, and she was very apologetic, and she said, well, it may be a little difficult because it's the holiday, and it's the weekend, and then Tuesday was officially the day of mourning for the passing of a former President Ford, and that might be a little difficult. So then I called Tuesday morning and spoke to a gentleman at the Secret Service, and he was the guy that said, oh, well, we just don't really have anything to comment on that. So then I called the White House and spoke to somebody there who put me into the press people, and she said someone would call me back, and that was Mr. Almasy, and he was very nice to do that interview. And then I also made a call to the Fort Worth Weather Service office, and that call was only one call, and that one worked out. So it was a journey.
You're a tenacious guy.
It was.
Well, I knew I was heading to be on Weather Brains, and I had to perform, so there you go.
Well, I knew there was more to getting that interview than just it looked pretty easy.
Yeah, sometime maybe we can do a story on getting the story sometime.
Oh, that would be fun.
Can be a challenge at times. Kevin, we're counting on having you with us again soon.
A very sincere thanks to you guys.
Enjoyed it. Keep out of trouble out there and keep us posted.
And keep putting stuff on WBAP so I can listen to you.
Oh, 50,000 watts overnight, right, JB?
Yes.
Texas blowtorch.
Yeah.
Comes booming in here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody happy?
Happy and healthy. Happy. Actually, not healthy, but I'll be healthy tomorrow.
Yeah, what happened to you?
I got a Santa Claus gave me a sinus infection for Christmas, so I must have been on the naughty list or something.
Well,
but I've got some heavy-duty medication here, and I got a shot in the boo-hunkus today, so I should be much better tomorrow.
I hope there's not going to be a blog picture of that.
No.
We don't want to see...
First time mentioned on this program?
Probably is the first mention of a boo-hunkus. I don't know.
And you say you slipped on the stairs?
Yeah, a couple of nights ago, I slipped on the stairs, and I sprained a little muscle in my back, so got medication.
at two here. I mean,
that's scary. I mean, you know, we kid around. That's dangerous. I'm glad you were not more seriously injured.
Barbecue will cure that.
Becomes scarier when you get old, like James, too.
Yeah, I'm about to see. You know, you got sinus infections. You're falling on stairs. That's a definite sign of old age here. But I've got a bag full of this medication, and it's working wonders. So modern medicine, it's great.
All right. We'll get to feeling better and no acrobatic stunts in the meantime. All right, Mr. Spann?
I hear you, man.
Very well. If you'd like to contact us here at WeatherBrains, not sure why you would, but that's your decision. Our email address is question@weatherbrains.com.
Let's talk football just for a second. Okay. How many of you saw that classic game last night between Boise State and Oklahoma? It is the most exciting football game I have ever seen in my life.
That thing actually went so late. I was asleep, and you know, I don't get home until 11:15, and I didn't even think it was still on television, so I went to sleep, and I saw the highlights this morning. But I will agree, that looked like a wild finish. I love the last play where the guy faked the pass, actually had the ball behind his back, and he handed the thing off, and that's what won the game for him. Fascinating.
I went to bed with 5 minutes remaining in the game, and it got so exciting. I was listening to it on the radio in bed. I got up and went back and turned the TV on. It was great.
We need to get Rada on here with us. You know, we got Bubba. Maybe next week we can get Rada on here with us.
Let's go for it. Somebody call him up and ask him.
Yeah.
Very good. A reminder that the opinions expressed here on Weather Brains are not necessarily those of ABC 3340. On behalf of James Spann, J.B. Elliott, Brian Peters, Bill Murray, Kevin Selley, Bill Bubba Bussey. Hope I'm not leaving anybody out.
Hey, we didn't hear much from Bill. Is Bill still on here?
Yep, I'm here, J.B.
Well, we didn't mean to abandon you, Bill.
Tell us something, Bill. What's going on?
I just wondered if Alabama's got a football coach yet.
No comment.
I told them I wouldn't take the job even for $4 million a year.
Spann turned it down, too.
Yeah, they offered it to Rick and Bubba, but they had that new gig at Cox Radio, right. So they couldn't make it work either.
Yeah, Bubba's completely out of the picture on that.
Yeah.
Cox will have to fire me because they hired Bubba.
They got to go down on the list further and further. Anyway, I'm David Black. We want to thank you for listening and hope you will take the chance and join us again for the next edition of Weather Brains. Weather Brains is copyright 2006, all rights reserved. Adios. Fun show, guys.
Copyright 2007.
What did I say?
2006.
Oh, maybe I should like change 6 to 7. Okay, we're copyright 2007.
I'm starting to rethink this now.
I don't blame you.
You should.
Look what you've gotten yourself into. Oh, Christ. This is like medication time at the Nut Ranch.
I'm out of here, guys.
All right, boys. Y'all have a, that was a great show. Bye.
Good night.
Enjoy.
Good night, Kevin. Good night, JB. Good night, Bill.
Good night,
Bill. Good night, James.
Sound like
good
the
night,
Waltons. David.